Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast. David Nagel, welcome to the Successful Mind Podcast. As normal, you can send in your questions at tsm@davidnagel.com, or you can send us a voicemail at speakpipe.com/David Nagel. All right. This is kind of an extension of episode 82, if that helps anybody, if you want to go back and listen to that. I talked about mother-father wounds. I want to go a little bit further with it today. I remember when I was studying with Bob Proctor. One time he said, you know, the only thing we ever really do in life is become more aware of our oneness with our Creator. And I thought, you know, that's a really interesting concept. And I think that for the person that is on the path, that is really looking to better their life, you know, they're constantly aware that they can become better, but they're not coming from a place of like there's something terribly wrong with me. It's about increase and improvement of your life and your business and, you know, anything that means a lot to you. Let me put it that way. So what's fascinating about that idea is that it indicates that we currently have a power within us that gives us the ability to really kind of be the architect of our own life. And I think that as we become more aware of that power, then it's not like the power becomes stronger because it's already as strong as it will ever be, but we become more aware of how strong it is. So that is, it then gives us the ability to do more with it, if that makes sense. So if I go back, when I was a kid, I spent a lot of time, like it was kind of weird in a way, because I spent a lot of time around my grandparents. My grandparents lived with us, and I would spend a lot of time around my grandmother, who was an educated woman, and she had great insight into people. And even as a kid, I was really kind of fascinated with that. But I was also very naive in a way where I was naive in the sense that I really didn't understand that people had the ability to hurt each other, like do things that are hurtful, say things that are hurtful, be emotionally hurtful, even be physically hurtful. I just did not really realize that. And even today, sometimes, like if somebody does something to me or I witness something, somebody doing something, it's always a little shocking to me because I just don't think about, like those things never come to my mind, like intentionally doing something that would be hurtful to someone. And I'm not saying that I've never done anything that was hurtful. I absolutely have. But I don't sit there, sit around and think, let me do something that's hurtful. So as I was thinking more about this, I was thinking about the idea that it's really cool if we go back, if we take the problems that we've had from our childhood and understand them from the point of truth, where we're looking at the reasons we went through whatever we went through and the reasons that we continue to go through things that we're going through in life. And what does it actually really mean? I come from the standpoint that there are no real victims in the world, and that we were born into this lifetime by some form of choice that we made in whatever form of life we were before we came into this life. So if you come from an energy perspective or a soul perspective, I believe that we had some say in some way of making the choice to come into this lifetime. And the reason that I have this idea is because if you don't consider that a possibility, then life is categorized in only a couple of ways. Either it's a random act and that everything in the universe is random, or it's an act of consciousness, because with consciousness in the universe, there's order. And as we decide to do something, we take chaos and move it into order, okay? So chaos is more of the idea, it's like the birthing place, right? It is the universal allness. It's all the knowledge, all the energy, but it's just there in a chaotic state, and things bring it into specific order to produce. So when we choose to do something, we then order our lives in that direction. That gives us responsibility. That puts us in a place of we're making the decision for our life. So we come into this life, nobody knows if this is true. This is just an idea. But I have found that this idea is a productive idea because it allows people to be empowered in their life to make different decisions versus thinking that we came into this life as victims. And some people were lucky and they were born into a great household, and other people were unlucky because they were born into a shitty household. And, you know, I was dealt a raw deal in life, and I've been through all these problems. And as I began to think about all of the arguments on both sides of this, I thought, well, what is the most productive? Because life is supposed to be productive. There's a reason for life. If you look at nature, there's a productive reason for everything that's out there. Like, it all has a purpose. We have a purpose. And in order to fulfill that purpose, we have to grow. Growth is required. Awareness is required. Skill development is required. Language is required. Communication is required. Discipline is required. And we have all of these things as tools, basically, inside of ourselves, that when we make a conscious choice to focus on them and develop those things, we become better, and as we become better, our life becomes better. So I really come from the standpoint of even though I can't prove it, there has to be some truth to the choice that we made to move into this life. And I don't really see any productive argument either way on whether it's true or not, because if it's not true, the truth is we still have the power to make a choice now, and we have the power to change our viewpoint around things, and we have another power which is really the crux of what I want to talk about today, which is we have the power to write our own story, meaning that we all have a story, and the story was developed as we moved through our life, and there's all these different players, people, and there's all these different circumstances and situations and results that we experienced in our life. And if you were to sit down with any individual, any person of the 7 billion people on this planet and talk to them, everybody's got a story. And it's unique to them, and it's also unique to their perspective and their perception. So even if you have two people that go through life together, those stories can be very different in a lot of different ways because everybody has their own perspective, everybody has their own perception of how they're experiencing their world. What's fantastic about this is that if we come at that with a point of consciousness, we have the ability to write it the way that we want it. We have the ability to create it the way that we want it. So you can take something that happened in your past that was negative, that hurt, that may have been wrong, where you may have been victimized, and you have a current story around that. And if you look at the story, you find out that the story is not productive. It's not the way that you're telling yourself that story or remembering it or using it in your life is actually not productive. It's become a non-productive story or a non-productive area of your life. If you choose to change that, which you have the ability to do, you could take the same circumstance and you can change it. You could change the story. You can change the meaning without taking anything away from what it actually was in your truth. And now it becomes extremely productive. So if we can do that with our past, we can kind of set ourselves right in the present, meaning that a lot of people spend large portions of their life trying to get over and heal and rectify past transgressions that they've had in their life. And I think when I see that, and I've done it myself, right? So, but when I see it and when I look at it in myself, I think to myself, okay, is this really benefiting me, spending all of this time trying to heal something, when actually the truth is that if I bring consciousness and awareness to what it really is, and I really focus in on the truth of the experience, and I write the story, or rewrite the story, I should say, based on the truth of that experience, now I don't have a wound anymore. The only time I continue to have a wound is if I continue to hold on to whatever other meaning that I gave it, and I'm currently getting some benefit from that. Now, just briefly, what are some of the benefits that we could get from holding on to the negative aspects of a wound? Well, it could keep us safe. A matter of fact, a lot of the ways that we've developed the way that we show up in the world, the different roles that we take in our life, the different patterns of behavior, or the way that we think or emotionally express ourselves, if those were developed around a bad situation when you were a child, it may have been the perfect adaptation that kept you somewhat safe in the experience where you didn't have a lot of control when you were a kid. So that could be one thing. The other thing is that it could be the way that we have found to get attention or recognition or love or a way of being with people that makes us feel connected. But it's still, if you think about it, it's not, you're not actually really getting those things in the essence of what they really are, because it's false. It's really kind of false attention, right? So here's what I mean by that. If I'm coming from a negative story and I start to talk to you about it, and this is a repetitive thing now, it's not like the first time I've told you this. If you start to sympathize or empathize with me and you begin to move into that story with me, we both become part of the same problem. So you're not getting any better by walking down the same path that I am in my story, and I'm not getting any better because I'm kind of codependently trying to get something from you based on the way that I won't let this story go or I keep repeating this story in my life. So we have this ability to change it, and it requires stepping up to another level of consciousness and awareness around what you actually have the ability to do. And I think that this is the part about it that's really cool. So let me just tell you a really quick story. You may have heard me say this before, but I want to use it in a little bit of a different context. So when I first started going to seminars, somebody who was very close to me, matter of fact, it was an uncle, called me on the phone and kind of berated me for wanting to go and was making fun of me. And, somehow he got the idea that I wanted to be a millionaire, which I did, but I don't know how he ever knew that because I didn't voice it really to anybody. And I think he was just using it to tease me at the time. But he was also being hurtful, and I think that it triggered him in some weird way that I probably will never know or understand. Maybe he had hidden aspirations to do something different with his life. And for whatever reason, he didn't do it. That's the only thing that I can manage about it, because this was actually kind of, he kind of came at me in a form of an attack. This was not like a person who called me on a regular basis. So I remember that when, after I got that, I felt very vulnerable. I did not know if I was making a mistake. I did not know if going to the seminar was something that was foolish, which he was trying to convince me that it was. And I decided that everything that I had currently been doing wasn't working. Here was something new. I'm going to try this. I'm going to see if this makes any difference in my life. He's been stuck in his life where he is for a long period of time. I don't see him really moving forward anywhere rapidly or in a big way. Not that there was anything really wrong with his life, but it was just, you know, an average life. And I was looking to, I had questions I wanted answers to. So I make this decision to go. I don't let the story suck me into not going. And so what did that mean? Well, it meant that I had to face a few things. I had to be willing to be vulnerable. I had to be willing to be wrong. Like, I could have went and found out that he was 100% right, that it was a scam, that it was a ripoff, that there was no way that I was ever going to really become successful like I wanted to be, because that's what he was kind of indicating to me. And I could have done those things, but I didn't. So I decided to view what I was doing in a different way at that time and take that chance. And you know, the truth is, it was vulnerable, it was shaky, it was risky in my mind, because I could have been making a mistake. Turns out I didn't. And I kept going down this path. And there were a few more interactions with this person over the years where it was, nobody really understood what I was doing or what I was looking for. And in a lot of ways at that time, neither did I. I was just trying to find a way out, and I was trying to find my path in life. So as I got further and further away from the situation, I noticed at one point that when certain things would go wrong, that story would kind of come up in my mind. So when I would, if I would have somebody that did something that was underhanded, or the one time I had an embezzlement in my company, when stuff like that would happen, I would sometimes get a hit in my mind where it would be like, is he right? Like, is this all going to fall apart? Is this just a pipe dream? Is this not going to happen? And I sat down after I had taken care of these issues one day, and I was really looking like, what is this? What is actually going on? Why am I hanging on to that story in that way? And what I realized about myself was it was like a pre-excuse reason, if I ever needed it, to kind of get out in a very twisted, perverted way, by the way. Like, it makes no logical sense whatsoever. But our subconscious mind often does not make logical sense. So it was almost like there was a safety net there. Well, my uncle was right. You know, I should have listened to him, blah, blah, blah. And I would be okay. And he would be back on my side if I had gone down that road, if I had actually failed. And I thought, no, this is not good that I'm hanging on to this. And I noticed that a lot of people hang on to little things like that in their life, little stories, little doubts, in preparation if they land hard because they make a mistake or what they're working on does not work out the way that they thought that it was going to work out. So I began to then sit down and write out literally with a pen and paper, not on a computer, but literally with a pen and paper, write out the direction and the story of where I wanted to go in my life. And I was doing it with great detail. And then after I did that, I literally took a board, and I had never seen this done before. It was just something I did on my own, found out that it was actually a common practice to make a vision board. And I cut out all these pictures of different things that I wanted to accomplish and be, do, and have in my life. And I started putting it on the board with timelines as to what I wanted to do. What was really fascinating about this was that I was using it as a way just to help me focus. And kind of like being an actor in the role of that part that I was creating for myself as my story. As the years started to click by, more and more of those things that I had on the board became real. I actually accomplished them. I achieved them. I was living them. And it wasn't always within the time frames, but it was happening. And then before I knew it, I had done everything that I had on the board, and I had to make another one. But what I thought was really cool about it, and what I've had people do for a lot of years now, is to really sit down and say, listen, if I'm coming from a place of consciousness and I'm coming from a place of truth and I use these things as tools in my life, I can really direct where I want to go and what I want to happen and predetermine how I'm going to show up to different problems that show up in my life, different challenges, different circumstances. I can pre-decide how I want to be when those things happen so that I'm not crushed by them. I remember having a conversation with somebody one time, and I said, you know, there are certain things in our life that happen that can really send us into a tailspin. Some of those things would be like a sudden divorce, the sudden death of a loved one, having somebody steal all your money, you know, your house burning down, like they're a traumatic illness. There's things that happen in people's lives. Like it seems to come out of nowhere and boom, all of a sudden you're in it. And if you've never really given any thought to how you would handle a crisis or a trauma in your life, you're going to handle it very often. You're susceptible to handling it from a weak position. Because number one, you weren't prepared to go into it. And when it happens, it's destabilizing. It really destabilizes the current situation of your life. And I was talking to a person and I said, you know, you can pre-decide right now when your parents die, how you're going to handle that. How are you going to be with it when they die? Because very few people ever sit us down and say, hey, listen, the end of the story for everybody is death here. And we have to understand what it is, and we have to understand what it's not, and we have to prepare ourselves to deal with that when it happens, because we're all going to experience the loss of someone as we go through our life. And the longer we live, the more losses we're going to experience. If you view them from the place of loss and tragedy, it can have a very marked traumatic experience on your psyche and how you show up in the world. If you write a different story and say, you know, this is a celebration of that person and that person's moving on in their journey, whatever that might be, and my life is better for having known this person or this person being in my life, or just showing gratitude for whatever you can for your interaction with that individual, the way that you move forward from that transition and that experience can be drastically different than if it's viewed from a negative perspective. So these are things that we can sit down and really put a lot of attention on in our life so that we can determine how we want to go. It's kind of like if you took a road trip, you know, if you drove from New York to California and you were planning the trip out, you know, what hotels are you going to stay in? Where are you going to eat? Where are you going to get gas? You're pre-thinking all of these things so that you have these different destinations that you're going to hit along the way, anything that you may want to see or people you may want to visit or whatever it might be. That doesn't mean it's always going to go that way, but it gives you options when it doesn't. You're more focused on what you're going to do, so you have a direction in mind, and you're literally creating the trip that you want to create for yourself. And that's kind of what we do with life, or that's what we can do with life. The other thing is that we have to really break away from the idea of what other people are going to think about us as we're doing this, because this is a real big stopping point for so many people, whether it's actually really happening in a person's life or you have that idea running around in your mind, like, what are people going to think if I do this? Or what are people going to think if they find out this about me or that about me or whatever? If a person has something that is regrettable or a big mistake that they made in their past and they've tried to move away from it, but it comes back up, what are people going to think of me? If we can get to the place in our own mind where we're perfectly comfortable and acceptable in who we are and go to the place where I don't really care what anybody else thinks, we really begin to set ourselves free. And then that journey can be a lot more fun, because a lot of times what I've seen happen is that people are afraid to make mistakes along the journey because they're very concerned about what other people are going to think if they see them make those mistakes. I too was one of those people 20 years ago, and I had to really confront that in myself and say, look, this is your life. You're going to make mistakes. Forget about what everybody else thinks about you and go and do this. And in a way, that gave me even more drive to succeed, because I was, like, for a while really determined that I was not, that I would, these people were not going to be right, that I was going to fail. I was going to continue to move forward. But if we come from the place of going, you know, it's really interesting, because when people are thinking about what I'm doing or what I'm not doing or mistakes that I'm making or achievements that I have or whatever, what's fascinating about that is they're judging me for it. What's fascinating about that is that they're not focused in on their own life and what they could be doing with themselves. So they're projecting onto someone else. So what does that really mean? Well, it means that it has nothing to do with you. It has to do with their judgments, their insecurities, their wishes in life, their fears, what people are actually going to think of them, and they project it onto other people. It's never about you. It's about them. So and the fascinating thing about this, also, when people are giving you praise and congratulating you and telling you did a wonderful job, that's also actually about them. You got to become really secure in your own skin with who you are. And the only person that needs to accept who you are and what you do in life is you. That's the only permission you need. You need to be able to give yourself permission to do that. So let me just hit on a couple of points here. One is that, you know, we can transcend anything that has happened in our past. We can rewrite the story and the meaning around that to suit our purpose for where we're going. So that means that we can learn from it, we can develop skills because of it, and we can be a benefit to other people. We can literally design the life that we want moving forward and really choose how we're going to experience all of the different experiences in life, both good and bad. But we need to put the time in and work around, you know, what's it really going to be like to experience those things, and how do I want to show up when something bad actually happens in my life? And then remove the idea of what other people think and give yourself permission to be all of you, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly, everything that you are, the mistakes that you've made. When you come to peace with all of that, you've really set yourself free. And that's when life, I believe, really starts to turn into a joy, because you don't have all of this weight pressing down on you about what are other people going to do if I make a mistake, or how much money am I going to lose if I make a mistake. You're free to decide how you want to show up for an experience. And I think it also allows you to step into things that may seem risky at first, but really they're more just challenges, so that you can learn and grow in your life. So with that, go out and make it a great day, everyone. It was my pleasure. Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com forward slash free stuff.